Warning, the following program contains open expression that some may find offensive. Language is used freely under the direct authority of the Constitution of the United States of America.
This podcast is a member of the Detroit Podcasters Network.
Detroit Podcasters Network.
Coming at you from I-94 and I-75. Representing the ongoing struggle to realize the Renaissance in Detroit, you have found the Olin Ezra Show. Allow me to introduce the big baby P.
I need a drink.
The front woman of the pills, Miss Danny Catastrophe.
What up, bitches?
The engineer, D. Sway. And for me, myself, and the all-seeing eye, Magnanimous. And now, Olin Ezra.
What's up, internet, in the beautiful yet broke city of Detroit, Michigan? You are listening to the 96th installment of the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's underground talk revolution. We are so close to 100. I can taste it. It's so close. We got a huge surprise coming up for you guys after episode 100, so sit tight. It's going to be huge. It's going to change a lot of things, maybe. I don't know. It's going to be a great show today. We got 6 months gone, chilling in studio. Some 16 seconds there. We got special guest co-hosts, Darren Counts from Detroit Live Magazine, who's in the booth with us right now. And Ryan LaPointe, who is lost somewhere in the Russell. He went to go find a hydration source, and now he's just lost in the bowels of the building.
So. He's just going to be another body in the basement, pretty much.
Is he still confused? Was that text you got from him?
It was all symbols and stuff. He sounds like he's losing oxygen. He's going down.
He's being forced to smoke crack against his will right now by Farmer John.
Being held at gunpoint to smoke crack. Anyway, Steve's not here, so we are, for the first time in what? Many, 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 many weeks. We've done a beer of the week, and this week we're not going to. Me and Steve had a discussion, and we decided that, I was like, Steve's like, oh, so you do the beer of the week when I'm not there. I'm like, yeah, buddy, I try to hold it down for you. He's like, Steve's response to me was, who? I don't know if I like that.
We might be able to try something new. Maybe we could try something new here. Maybe we could have an herb of the week. Ryan could do that.
It's always so busted when we do it.
It is. It's like Jack Daniels. Yeah. It's Ryan LaPointe. He's came out of the bowels of the Russell. We don't know what we're doing, but we are starting Olin's word of the week. And word of the week this week, or phrase of the week, I should say, is taint fungus.
I like it.
And it's everyone's job to use that in a sentence at some point this
That's
week.
That's right.
Preferably like, talking to your parents.
Like, someone said something to me yesterday, and I was struck with inspiration on the way to the show today. I'm like, taint fungus it is. It's like, man, your taint fungus is smelling pretty ripe today, buddy. I think you need to go hose down outside. Good God.
Will this be in your next story?
What's that?
Will that be mentioned in your next story?
Yes.
All right.
When you have taint fungus, does it make the taint no longer glisten?
I don't know, Danny. Does it?
I've never had case of taint fungus, so I can't be sure.
You are the expert of the glistening taint.
I am. But I don't have any fungus.
Glistening taint. I think I'm gonna change the name of my band right now.
The Omnipotent.
Darren Counts in the glistening taints.
Dylan, what do you think of taint fungus?
I disapprove.
I'm against it.
Dylan is heftily against taint fungus. So Ryan, Darren, what's going on with the magazine?
Everything is going on with the magazine.
Like the new big, the big pages.
The bigness of it now?
The bigness, yes.
Yeah, a lot of people are liking the bigness.
It is enlarged for your reading pleasure.
Engorged.
And it feels substantial. people are liking it. Everyone is into it. It feels like they get more real estate with their ads, which is cool. And you know what? The problem was I held it up next to the other ones, Metro Times, Real Detroit. And I says, it looks like less. Now it looks like the same. Now we just got to get it thicker.
And size does matter as well.
It does matter. And some people prefer thick size. And so we're working on that, right?
I like my magazines girthy.
You like a good girth to the magazine, yeah. Something you can really grip and hold on to.
Yeah, so we made it bigger. We're doing better. We're doing good. A lot of stuff going on. Over the last year, I wanted to talk about, and that's when I got a hold of you. I wanted to come in here and talk about a couple of things that are going on in the music scene right now that I'm coming across that I'm sure is trickling down or has been trickling down or is about to trickle down to a lot of the bands. If you work and you get paid at all, and
disastrous.
A lot of bands don't make much money. I paid a band $9 last night. They brought 3 people, but hey, $9, that's Taco Bell on the way home. But if you work like in a cover band and you're making whatever you're making, They're probably about to make less right now, just because, and you can thank your senators and your congressmen. The smoking ban, a lot of people, I've talked to a lot of people over the last couple weeks or so to find out what's going on with this. And as you know, May 1st, they said no smoking anywhere ever in life. Maybe
dick
you can
holes.
Crawl in, under your house and smoke or something Lousy for a minute until they catch you. But if you got a Chili's or an Applebee's, you're good to go. Whatever. You know, people come in, they eat their fish and chips, they go home. But if you got a bar where people come in and want to hang out a little bit, they're taking a big hit.
And it's absolutely killing live bands.
It's killing live bands. You know who else it's killing? And I like to take this approach because I like to take pot shots at politicians whenever I can. It's killing single moms. Single mom waitresses who are trying to put themselves through school. All of them eventually become nurses anyway.
They're all trying to go through school. They're all trying to work in school. All of them.
Well, yeah, and all the strippers too. But you know, I talked to, see, I studied this a little bit over the week because I started to write an article and I figured, let me look and read. So I read the bill, started calling senators, and I'm talking to the one senator, and I says, what about the rights of the bar owners, the business owners? You know, he says, well, you know what I'm more concerned about is the rights of the people behind the bar, you know, the people that are working.
And but they want to smoke. I had a bartender on the show last week.
What the politician doesn't realize is they've already tackled that issue. Before she applied for that job and went in for that job, she's already said, I probably already smoke, and if I don't, I'm good with it.
Right.
I grew up in the 70s. I grew up at 3 years old sitting on the armrest in the front seat of the car with no seat belt, with each parent on both sides going 75 miles an hour.
Sucking down cigarettes.
With the windows up and the AC on. We were taking out the ozone, global warming, our lungs, everything was going down. And you know what?
It was a blowout.
We're fine.
It was a blowout in the Count's family station wagon.
But that was the whole It was a whole planet, though, back then. And the senator's telling me, you know, well, they've already proven that X amount, a million of people have died from secondhand smoke. And I said, can you show me a death certificate of one person says cause of death, secondhand smoke?
They haven't.
Have you ever heard of that?
That's like linking weed smoking to fatalities.
Oh, I got to tell you. I was talking to an elderly gentleman the other day. This was the funniest thing. I think I might have told Ryan. An older fellow. He's like 67. And we were talking about legalization of drugs. And I said, anything that grows out of the dirt is between me and God. He put it there. He put me here. This is between me and him. Don't get in between him. Now, if I got to take that and turn it into chemical, add gasoline, burn it, do whatever,
right,
turn it into some crack thing, that's
change
a different
the chemical
story.
Compounds.
But if it's, I mean, weed should be no more illegal than corn on the cob, pretty much. It comes out of the ground. It's good. But this guy says, this fellow, he says, well, what would you say if somebody had an argument with their neighbor and they went in the house and they smoked some marijuana? They came out and killed their neighbor.
It's crazy. It's going to make you freak out and want to stab babies in the face. Don't smoke weed.
I says, you know what else could happen? I heard what happens if somebody goes out and does a bunch of cocaine. I mean, big piles of cocaine. Then they fall asleep at the wheel and kill them. This is the generational gap between people that just
wow.
that it but him and
did you
it,
explain people, to him that coke was an amphetamine and it perks you up
no
a
I would
bit?
Have had to display too much of my past history and I wasn't about to bring all that
my
up.
Mom told me the other day that marijuana usage leads to heroin.
Does.
And she was dead serious
every
still.
Time
gateway drug.
Do you see these track yep. marks, my friend?
Yep.
they're vicious.
Yeah,
you want to lick it, Dan?
No.
Lick the track
tempting,
mark
but no.
So I've been talking to senators. I've been talking to politicians all week long. And what I realize is you can't talk to them because you say one thing, then they talk for 20 minutes. They go on. And you think of a really good thing, but they don't shut up. By the time they let you talk again, you forgot what you were talking about. You're like, okay.
I just found out the big guy for medical marijuana, his name is Cushenberry. He's a legislator. That's his last name.
Cushenberry.
That's Cushenberry?
Wow. So he's got the Barry Cush.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they put the kibosh down on the business for the smokers, and so a lot of people are really kind of in reevaluation mode right now.
Well, one thing that I'm noticing a lot is like when we were at that bar a couple weeks ago for Pills BDAB show, the owners were so happy to have people there
drinking,
yeah, and yeah. that they were just. I mean, people were going out in the parking lot like with their drinks. Some people were smoking inside. I mean, they weren't really like enforcing anything, and so.
It was great, actually. I was running around the parking
lot
with Jack and Coke.
It was great, but it's
I felt
like,
so free.
It feels a little spring break-ish. You're just kind of like, oh, hey, what's going on?
I'm in the parking lot in Roseville.
That's how it was at the Bullfrog last night. People in the parking lot.
I can't deal with the secondhand smoke in my virgin lungs. Meanwhile, she's driving a Cadillac Escalade 80 miles an hour down 94 on the fucking cell phone.
But my shirt smells better.
Did they ban text messaging yet? I keep hearing that it was supposed to, but no, I've never
really... Oprah did.
Is it confirmed?
Oprah did? Oprah just has to make an edict. She just says it.
So says the Oprah.
Oprah's law.
It sounds kind of intense. I don't know.
Speaking of intense, it doesn't get any more intense than 16 Seconds Stare. This one's called Hellraiser.
Some 16-second stare. You heard it on the Olin Ezra Show. This band has been getting some rotation through the Clear Channel networks. That's pretty good for these guys, and they sent us some information their way, and we are on the phone with Chris. What's up, man? Thanks for making some time to be on the Olin Ezra Show.
What's up, Chris?
Hey, what's up?
Chris, man, you guys just got Clear Channel Band of the Week about a month and a half ago, man. Has that helped you at all?
Yeah, absolutely. We're just trying to get some stuff together right now and working on another tour. I think we might be going on tour with Soil coming up pretty soon.
Cool. Now, you guys just released your second album, right?
Right, in April.
How's that been going for you?
Good, man. We're getting a lot of positive feedback on it, and everybody seems to like the live shows and everything.
Do you guys have any plans to take it out to Detroit anytime soon?
I think in the next month and a half, I think we're going to hit the road again.
Beautiful, man. You guys are from where in Florida?
Tampa.
Tampa. How's that golf situation over there, man?
Well, luckily, we're not affected by it just yet. I mean, it's like closer to New Orleans and everything, you know, so.
No tar balls?
But yeah, it still sucks, though.
Oh, yeah, man, right on. What a mess that is, huh?
Yeah.
Hey, Chris, where are you guys looking to go on tour?
Probably be coast to coast again.
Cool, man, right on. Well, we look forward. Hopefully we can see you in the Detroit area, man, get you guys rocking the Fillmore or something like that. It'll be good to see.
Harpos.
Oh, yeah, man.
Get some Harpos. Have you ever played at Harpos?
Oh, man, we did this show. I forgot where. I think it was in Mississippi, and the stage. Well, we got to do a sound check and everything, and I'm looking on the stage, and there's a damn dead rat. On the stage. I'm like, this is about as metal as it gets right here.
Did you whip it at the crowd?
Oh, yeah.
Someone got a dead rat in the forehead. That, sir, is metal.
Yes.
So now, where did you guys get the influence from your sound? Because I heard a couple of things in there, but I wanted to ask you.
Yeah, well, I mean, my biggest influences are, like, you know, Pantera is really, like, one of my favorite bands, and Seven Dust, I'm a big fan of those guys. Like, Metallica, Avenged Sevenfold, you know, all the greats right now, you know?
So, hey, Chris, we gotta get the show rolling along, but hey, thanks a lot for taking the time out to do an interview with us real quick, man. We appreciate it.
All right, dude.
All right, man. Have a good one, Chris. Take it easy.
Bye, Chris.
All right, man. See ya.
Hey, we got some comments this week. This is good stuff. People actually called the comment line at 313-254-4260. First off.
Operators are standing by.
We have a little country coworker action.
Doggy. Yes, there's the country co-worker calling you on the ever and unimportant comment line on the Olin Ezra Show. So, you guys have been doing them mere trivia questions from Trivial Pursuit or wherever the hell you're getting them. And, well, you asked one there in episode number 93. You asked what song was a rap song and a rock song on the theme of. And, well, I got the answer to that. Yes, sir, ladies and gentlemen, the old country co-worker, not a.k.a. Les Zaldor, no, sir. This here is the country co-worker. Wee doggy. And that there answer is Steven Tyler and Joe Perry with Run DMC calling Walk This Way. Now, here's the kicker for you. Grab one of your shorts there, Owen. Now, if you remember, Kid Rock also did this on the MTV Music Awards. In place of Tyler and Perry with Run DMC. So smoke that for a little local tie to it. Well, I know I didn't get the points because, well, I was a little slow. But that's okay. I got enough people out there scratching their head trying to figure out who in the fuck the country coworker knows would give him that answer. Nobody. This just happened to be the sober part of my life.
I've never heard the country coworker swear before.
He was so happy talking about that's the silver part of my lining.
About, is that what he said?
Yeah, that's what he said at the very end.
I don't want to see the silver part of his lining.
Country coworker.
He said the sober part of his life.
Oh, aha.
You just got an optimistic outlook. You just hear good stuff
he
about clouds and silver linings.
He is so happy with his alpaca farm and his fresh vegetables. And this guy is a trip, and he's an engineer.
I love how he always has to disclose that he's calling on the Olin Ezra comment line on the Olin Ezra Show.
This here's a country
Thanks,
co-worker.
Buddy.
Let's make sure everyone's abreast.
Speaking of the country co-worker, listen to his other alter ego, Les Zaldor. You can check him coming out of an orangutan's tender anus at ZALDOR.com. Joe Fucko from Chaos Theory called, and he had this wonderful nugget to grace our ears with.
Hey, what's up, Olin? It's Joe Fucko down here in Sarasota, Florida. Trip's going fun. Hey, I caught some pink eye. You know, my eye keeps undulating from pus. I don't know if it's gator-related or what, but, you know, but it's all good. This morning, woke up in the back of the RV, middle of fucking Georgia or some shit. Puked all over some fucking dude's fence. And I had to poop, you know, so then I pooped by the fence. And then at 6 in the morning, we were staying at like a goddamn immigrant hotel or something. Woken up by some pissed off Puerto Rican migrant workers or something. And they're La Migran and all this fucking shit. Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, and then they dumped all the garbage off and they had a little barbecue and the fucking... Then I passed back out and I woke back up and we're on our way to Florida. Hope Detroit's going good. peak fuck out.
It's wow. Something. When you go to Florida, you're just not right. I don't know what happens. I don't even know what that was about.
He pooped by the fence.
That's where you lost me. the fence pooping visual just put me over.
He was at a migrant worker camp? I don't...
And then they had a barbecue with the trash.
Where did the barbecue quarter? That's what I was like, what are you cooking, man? Fucking banana peels? What's going on?
I think Florida's the meth capital of the United States of America.
Oh, it is for sure.
So I don't even know. Kay Hub from Wicked Skull Productions called, and she had to say this.
I'm so pissed off, dude, every time I drive by a fucking BP and there are people pumping gas. How do we stop it? I'm going to go in and just have issues with these people. Make it stop. Please, make it stop.
I just filled up at BP. She probably saw me.
Oh, man. What a mess, huh?
What, the golf?
Yeah.
I don't know. Pretty much, I guess.
What do we even do at this point?
What do we do? You know what we do? A damn thing.
What can we do?
You know what? The thing is, to me, this is a big distraction. It's a bunch of crap going on. In 5 years, it ain't going to matter. In 10 years, the Exxon Valdez spilled all that oil in a little freaking lake this big. And you know what? You can go up there today and you can sun on the beach. It's good to go. Oil's all... I'm sure there's people going, this guy's fucking crazy, man. Oil's natural. It comes out of the ground. You can't poke a hole in the earth, one little hole about this big, and think the world is freaking over. 5 years from now, this will be 500 disasters behind us, and it won't even mean...
Darren's insight. Now, I completely disagree, man. I think this is a terrible, terrible, horrible atrocity. It needs to be stopped. We're pumping petroleum into the earth at an astronomical rate. The life count,
we are. No, the earth's doing it itself. Earth made the oil. Earth put the oil there. Yeah, we poked a hole in it.
We poked the hole. Ryan B. called it one of the worst, I don't know if this is the worst moment in his life or the best moment of the life, but it's hard to make sense of what's happening in this situation. Either way, it's win.
Ready?
K-Hub.
Ryan,
B. We're at the new way of our doing it.
Oh, yes, we are. Close it off.
Let's get on the pool table.
Ryan B., wear your hat.
Oh, should I keep it on?
Yes, you should.
Oh.
Don't tell anybody. Oh, wait, it's on.
Put it in my ass.
I love when chicks use my initials during sex.
Ryan B., the potty mouth sissies. That man is brilliant. Apparently making love to K-Hub at the New Way Bar.
On the pool table.
On the pool table. Wearing his hat.
Don't ever wear his hat.
Requesting to be fisted.
Stay away from Ryan B's John Deere hat, please, for the love of God. Anyway, he also called back and he delivered us a very difficult hip-hop trivia question.
Hey, Olin and the gang, it's Ryan B. Hip-hop trivia, here we go. Now, this one, you might have to look up on the internet, but it's okay. It's okay to cheat on this one. And it's also worth 20 big points. How many times was Tupac Shakur shot in his whole entire lifetime? Not just when he died, but his whole life. Good luck. And I'm a little hungover this morning.
Ryan B., hip-hop trivia. How many times was Tupac shot?
Or shot?
How many bullet holes are in his body when they put him in the ground for the final time?
From the very first bullet wound all the way to the very last bullet wound. How many times did somebody decide to try to kill Tupac?
I feel like he says it and hit him up.
He might?
I think he does.
There's clues everywhere.
He's deep.
You just got to look.
He said you can look it up. You can cheat.
You can cheat. So that means a country coworker right now is drooling all over himself and masturbating in anticipation to getting this week's hip-hop trivia brought to us by Ryan B. So real quick, talking about hip-hop, make sure to check out good friends of the show, Origix in D.C. at 2raw4fm.com. And if you're looking for some of that psycholicious, wicked shit, check out wfuckoffradio.com. They're doing their show the third Thursday of every single month. So Origix in D.C., two options for those dudes. So we have 6 months gone in the studio. We got Drew and AJ chilling, and we're going to bring you guys into a track here. We also have Danny's douchebag of the week we got to get to. So enough bullshit. Here's some 6 months gone.
Yeah! 6 months gone. We're here with Andrew May and AJ.
Arlie Vest Jr.
Beautiful,
Wait,
man.
Wait, you're Arlie Vest Jr.?
That's me.
Oh, okay.
Now there's a face to the name.
Yeah.
Now, you guys were involved in a night of heavy drinking last night, if I understand correctly.
Actually, it was, what, Friday night?
Yesterday.
And you guys, and then Rich and AJ proceeded to drink with my sister at the Rhino. Amanda motherfucking May at the Rhino in Redford.
We heard rumblings of 21.
Oh, yeah, that was Friday night.
Olds and party buses.
Streakers and...
Party bus in Greek Town.
Lots of lube.
My lovely wife was the first naked one. We got back to the house. Yeah.
Yeah, skinny dipping in a pool.
Apparently, I got so wasted, I was calling her a whore and telling her to put her clothes back on, but I was apparently the one that told her to take her clothes off in the first place. So for that, sweetheart, I'm very sorry. No more beer bongs. There's several pictures of me bonging several beers.
That's the best part, man.
And then there was several types of different liquors all throughout the night. It was glorious, really. But the end result was pretty bad.
So you guys got a party bus?
Well, it was our friend Brittany Cooper's birthday, and she got the bus, and we all kind of chipped in.
Just bring the guitars and rock out on the bus?
No, we were, tambourine,
anything?
We were off the clock.
Kumbaya?
We were off the clock.
All right.
But yeah, we had a blast with these guys, and they're all, you know, younger. We're in our 30s or late 20s, the most of the band is. So.
No, you guys are 25.
Oh,
you know, that's,
God, I wish.
Oh. Darren is 25, Danny is 25, I'm 25, and you guys are also
very well
25.
Man. You know what? You know, so saith Olin. So
that's
saith
right. it's age is a relative thing. But no, man, what do you guys got up, man? What kind of shows are you looking at?
We're looking at July 17th. We've got the Ritz with Dirty Whiskey. That's going to be a killer show. Also on that bill is SXX. The next show is the Crowfoot Gangabang show with the Pills, Potty Mouth Sissies, Pangea.
That's going to be a blowout.
Bad on Fire, Robots in the Garden, list goes on, Mansfield Park. Man, that's a big bill. That's going to be awesome.
What day is that show?
That is August 13th.
Friday the 13th.
Yeah, and tickets go on sale the 13th of July. Yeah, so you can get them from us.
Holy, that's a lot of 13s.
From Danny.
You better get your ticket for me.
Yeah,
I will.
he's like, okay.
Danny scares me. I don't even know.
I just concur.
I'm like, okay.
I just concur.
Please.
It's good. It's good.
So, Drew, you got your guitar, man.
Yeah, I'm going to perform an acoustic version of If I.
I will die in it. do know. And I have made my bed, lying and now dying without you. Without you.
Kick-ass,
man. That was awesome, dude.
That was awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Wow,
that was fantastic.
As the headphones fall off.
I got some goosebumps, man.
Oh, come on.
Jesus
come
fucking
on.
Christ.
That was awesome, man.
Well, I don't even know what to say. That speaks for itself. Wow,
it's a great
man.
Song. It's awesomely written, if that's a phrase way to say it. But because by the end of it, I knew all the words. I knew where you were going. I knew everything there. I felt like cool. Every time you come back to the chorus, you were coming home. I'm like, oh,
right on,
I'm
dude. Thanks,
home.
Man.
It was awesome.
Is that a newer song?
Kind of started with the riff about 2-3 years ago. My mom died. Kind of needed some inspiration and. And within like 2 or 3 weeks of, or 2 or 3 months of her dying, I kind of had an idea where I wanted to go with it. And
so it's an extremely personal song,
it's
too.
Very, very
it's powerful,
very
man.
Yeah.
Very personal. I wrote it from the perspective of my father finding out that basically I can't even divide. Basically, it was some messed up shit that my dad found out about, and. Then she died, and it was like, oh, there's some big unresolved problems. So,
wow.
Yeah, I found the inspiration for it, and then continued on.
It very energy filled, man. Wow.
Thanks.
I mean, do you do it's, that song live, or do you? Do,
yeah, no,
that,
yeah,
that's an acoustic version.
That's the acoustic version of the track "If I" that will be on our EP that's dropping October 2nd.
Can we hear it online or anything now?
Not, you know what, I don't think If I is online yet. We're still in the mixing process. Now I'm going to give Olin tracks, and Static Noise has tracks too, Epiphany.
Exclusive.
And actually, Static Noise has the recorded version of that track, but it's still not done. We're a little leery about giving it out just yet. I mean, it's quality enough, but there's still some tweaking that needs to be done. So, the official release date is October 2nd. I'll probably have everybody's copies of everything probably a month prior to that.
Where's that at?
It's going to be at the Bullfrog. That's October 2nd, Bullfrog with Daddy Jack, our good friends, Something Strange. Zena Bagger likes this.
Zena Bagger loves everything.
Yeah, she
just wants to grab everything and throttle it to death with love.
Yes.
It's a beautiful thing.
And she's awesome, too.
She is
awesome.
Her partner in crime, Val Brown, with the Ginger Snaps doing all those, you know, concerts for...
They don't even make money.
No, they don't. They don't make a dime. And they raise all kinds of money for, you know, cancer, MS. I mean, the list goes on. They're awesome, so...
And they bust their ass,
yes,
too.
They do.
They
big shout
so
out
hard.
To those girls. Those girls are
crazy,
awesome.
But good in a good way.
And then also on the bill is my good friend John Jr. And we're maybe got room for one more band. We're not quite sure who yet, but we might ask one more band to come and help us out with that. So
very cool,
beautiful man, dude. I'm still like trying to recover from that epic fucking ballad I just heard.
Oh, come on. Thanks, man. Thanks.
Tell us about the band 6 months gone. How long have you guys been together? Who's in it?
I would say officially we started when AJ came along, actually, which was actually this year. Now the, you know, website stuff says 2009. That's when I started putting the band together, and the music that is on most of the sites, except for the acoustic version of Epiphany that we did at Static Noise, is me with two studio musicians I did out in Lansing at a studio called Talent Riot. And they were good enough tracks, but it's not us. You know, the band really kind of began when Rich and AJ signed on to Paul, our new drummer. Rich and Paul and I have some history in other bands together, so.
Has Gang of Bang been good to you, sir?
Oh, my gosh. I can't even, like, the most awesome thing that's come along in such a long time for this scene, and if it spreads further than just the scene,
like a rash,
Jesus.
Over the place.
I mean, it'll be we're taking it over, taking it back,
caked into the taint fungus.
That's an awesome phrase. That's an awesome phrase, and kudos on the use. Earlier,
you
I
like
dig
that?
It. I dig
I've already
it.
Fulfilled my obligations.
Yeah, she's fulfilled her obligations. I'm gonna have
it
to.
Once in a sentence.
I'm gonna have to
make sure you use it at work. You know, like hey, you gotta hey Drew, man, you want a hand? Taint fungus,
son of a like, taint what? Fungus. What? Damn it! AJ, what do you want to add about the band, bro? Like, I mean, what is it? What has 6 months gone mean to you? Since you're, I mean, Rich, like I said, Rich and I have history together. Rich and Paul and I have history in other bands together. AJ is completely new. What is 6 months gone to you, bro?
It's what I've been looking for the last 12 years. I've been in numerous amount of bands and just never fit in right, dude. Right. I come along, met these guys, dude. I'm like, where you guys been, dude? This is awesome. I wake up at his dad's house. They're cooking beans and cornbread. I'm like, yeah.
Straight up in Redford, right. Bitch.
How did you guys find him?
Was it a Craigslist?
Really?
Side? Yeah, oh, yeah. He answered a Craigslist side. Okay, the backstory on the 2009 part of 6MG.
Need bass player.
Yeah, well, basically.
For band and other things also.
Also other things. But basically, I had what I thought was a band, and we went to Lansing and recorded these tracks, and then it fell apart. So I piece by piece put it back together. And by this was like in August. By January, I had another drummer that I, you know, had played in another band with Rich and the other guitar player that I'm about to introduce, Rich Whitehead. He and I and Paul have been in three different bands together, including this one. So when we found AJ, it was like, yeah, that's the missing link right there, dude. And so we all basically unanimously say that the band started in 2010 when AJ came along. So that's that.
So all these stuff you got written now, everything. Like that song right there, is that the band song or is that your song does the writing
I'm pretty liberal with my, you know, writing credits. I would say that even though I've had the riff and the idea and the thing banging around for a while, it wouldn't be the same without the rest of the guys. But not everybody in the band feels that way. So if we're gonna say, okay, that would be Andrew May's song and something like Same For You, which will maybe be on this full length that we're putting out after the EP, that would be Rich's song. AJ certainly wrote Sweet Whiskey all by himself. So, you know, that's something.
Okay.
And our drummer, who Paul Breen, who is an amazing guitar player himself, plays drums right now. He's got full songs. We're just, you know, trying to find the time, trying to put it all together.
And that's lyrics too.
Lyrics need some work, you know. And Rich is the same way. He'll bring me a complete song and be like, "This is what I got, dude." And I'll be like, "All right, well, I can't spit like that and play guitar at the same time." So, you know, I'll modify it.
You gotta modify it to your own style.
But you know what I mean? I'm not gonna ask him, like I say, Rich, so I arranged that song, so you better give me credit, dog. No, it ain't like that. You know what I mean? If he isn't comfortable with putting me on, you know, it's whatever, dude, whatever.
So you guys are still working to try to write music right now, or are you to focus on the EP?
This is a good question. If we get done with the EP, we can move right into the full length, okay? And we've got 10 tracks. We just can't afford to master and package 10 tracks.
I hear you.
We have an excellent tool with our drummer's dad, who is an amazing engineer, jazz musician and everything. The Epiphany, he did the piano part at the end of Epiphany, that you'll hear. He is recording us for free, basically, and that's still something we're taking advantage of, because that's one of the most expensive parts of the whole process, putting a record together. So we've got that, but it still costs money to master, still costs money to package 100 of them, you know.
Sure.
So we're going to do 3 songs at a time, and then we're going to, you know, go back and, like, there's a clean guitar track that needs to be on this particular song. Didn't have time to do it, so it didn't go on. So the difference between that song and the full-length, you know, version, be subtle, maybe some mixing and things like that, but these 4 songs that are on the EP, that's going to be Epiphany, If I, and Crystal Clear. And the acoustic version of Epiphany we recorded at Static Noise. The guys got a really good capture of it, so we're going to use it. Everything but Epiphany will go on the full length.
You guys actually rock so hard you blew the power out at the Bullfrog,
yes,
I heard.
That actually happened.
That's
beautiful. We were rocking If I, and right as I was done with the intro and hit the big open D chord, and wah, the power went down. And we all looked at each other like, holy shit, did that just happen?
Left, but drums.
And the whole front of house went out and the lights went down, but the stage was still lit up. So there was no mics. like a transformer in the actual bar must have blown, or sorry, a circuit or some shit. And everything but the stage went down. So I didn't have a mic. We just jammed it, dude. I didn't have a mic till the end of the set. It was our last song. So, but yeah, it was awesome. AJ jumped up on top. They got this little table like at the bar at the end of the stage that runs that way across the Bullfrog. AJ's up on top. He's jumping up. As he's jumping up onto that little part, Yes, he jumped from the stage up onto that thing. He pulled my my pedal board completely over. Like it didn't come unplugged. I was like, fucking sweet. And he's like, should I stay up here? I'm like, no, AJ, get the fuck down. Get down right now. He's like, okay. He backs right down. It was awesome, though. This guy is from one side of the fucking stage to the other. Bullfrog stage is way too small for this guy.
I should come with a warning label. Don't put your gear next to me.
Negative.
Because I'm all over the place.
Dude, he'll stand on my Marshall. It's, you know, a combo Marshall. I'm big 100 watt, you know, tube amp. But he'll stand on it. And it rocks. Like, oh, dude, come on, man. Please. I got a grand to replace that dog.
Please. Please don't fall. 6 months gone. Thank you, Drew. Thank you, AJ.
Not a problem. Always coming in.
Sounded great.
Beautiful.
Thanks, man.
We still got a couple of segments to burn through real quick. So, Danny, you got a douchebag.
Indeed.
It's the douchebag, it's Danny's dirty douchebag of the week.
Okay. Uh-oh. Well,
that was a big sigh.
Yeah.
This is disturbing. This week is disturbing. It solidifies my theory that just nothing good happens at Walmart ever.
It's just
a cesspool for just the taint fungus of the earth.
And again.
You like that?
It is where you get the cheapest.
Twice in one show, folks.
Well, if you want to buy a baby for 25 bones, you can do so apparently now outside of Walmart because
Jesus.
A real live baby. Last week, Tuesday, Patrick Fausek, who is 38, and Samantha Tomasini, who is 20. next to Samantha's name, I have meth face written down.
Oh yes.
So she has a good case of meth mouth.
Oh, there's like meth like scabs all over. She looks like
just once to get the taste, the flavor.
Scabies. She looks about 16, and he looks about 50. Like it's disgusting. So they apparently had a baby. They approached two women outside of Walmart in California. They asked if they would like to buy the baby for $25. The women thought that they were joking, but when they became increasingly desperate and persistent, the women called the police. By the time the cops got there,
hey,
the
couple you want to buy my baby?
was home, but they found them at their home around 1 a.m., visibly high on meth. And Samantha...
Of course!
There was a baby there, though, right?
Yeah, and she also admitted to breastfeeding the baby while high on meth.
Jesus.
So,
what are you going to do? Need to get some meth milk? That's worse than meth mouth.
That is.
Some meth milk?
Sounds hot.
I wonder if you could solidify the meth milk and smoke it. Or, yeah, even better.
Snort out lines
crush
of meth
it.
Milk.
All right. I can't believe that these douchebags are trying to sell their baby at Walmart.
$25.
Now, can you take the baby through the U-scan? Or is it like...
No, that you gotta go to customer service for that one, sir. Oh, Jesus. Lord,
forgive me.
Does it come with papers?
Out of all the why didn't they just go to an adoption? Oh, they didn't want to get in trouble
for their
meth usage.
They
because
didn't know. They thought
retarded.
It was a good idea.
And wanted more methamphetamines.
Only $25 worth? How much? I mean, I don't know
that
the going rate.
That doesn't buy you much meth, I
would assume that if it's comparable anything. To Coke, it's not much, and that's not going to do.
Well, see, if they're cooking the meth themselves, they can get a hefty amount of meth for $25.
Yeah, but 9 months of investment to get $25 worth of meth?
That's just bogus, man.
It's just bad business.
I'm not down with that.
You know what's awesome, though, is they went to jail, and I guess he just got the absolute shit kicked out of him the first night.
Awesome.
Right. Well, he's sitting around drinking meth milk, selling his babies at Walmart. Well,
pretty disturbing.
On a positive note, I have some here in my hand, some Detroit City Cheers. We talked about this on, like, episode 30 of the show a while ago, and I have yet to actually get some. You can get these at the Motor City Brewing Works at the Grand Trunk Pub off of Woodward and the Park Bar. They all participate in the Detroit Cheer program, and what it is for $3, you can get yourself $3 worth of Detroit Community Scrip. It's right on the back. It's even stamped in foily. It's foily. That means it's official. But
speaking of meth, I mean foilies. I mean what?
You can actually use this to smoke with. Seriously, no. But
when you buy something with that, do you pay 6% taxes on
it? No, you just it's like if they have Pabst Blue Ribbon for $2.50, check it out. Here is the beer and the
tip. Do they
tip.
Have 50 cents worth of script or no?
No, it's in $3 increment. I think we're kind of low budget as to what can actually happen with the script at this increments. Point. Hey, how much is a beer? $2.50.
Yeah.
So here's
on
your
average.
Tip. Here's your beer.
Right
there. Makes it nice and easy. Thanks. All right. So, Darren, thank you, sir, for taking the time out today, coming out and being part of the OE show.
You're welcome.
Love it. Drew, AJ, 6 months gone.
Love the show, man.
Love you guys, man. Thanks for coming out, playing the acoustic set, man.
Hey.
Always, always love to see that. So for myself, I am one big sweaty sack of Detroit cheer. And the lovely Miss Danny Catastrophe.
Taint fungus, taint fungus, taint fungus, taint fungus, taint fungus, taint fungus.
We are going to take you out to some 6 months gone, only on the Olin Ezra Show, Detroit's Underground Talk, Sweat Illusion.